I'm Christian, and this is an Ice Age Farmer update. Cold weather to grip the world as solar minimum deepens, according to NASA. This from express.co.uk. Well, it's not exactly what NASA said. You must, as usual, look deeper. And so we'll do that in a second. It is, however, worth noticing, though, that just from a Twilight language kind of perspective, to see these words in the headlines of a impending cold weather period, thanks to the sun, it's interesting to see that kind of language being pushed out into the collective conscious, even by the tabloids. What NASA actually said at NOAA's annual Space Weather Workshop was that we expect solar cycle 25, the coming cycle, to be very similar to cycle 24, the one we are enjoying the end of right now. Another fairly weak maximum preceded by a long, deep minimum. And what happens in those long, deep minima is exactly what we've been documenting on this channel. The heightened seismic activity, heightened volcanic activity, the extreme precipitative extremes, droughts and floods, the hail, and just extreme storms in general, more atmospheric electrical activity. There's actually a whole slew of weird viruses coming down from space, so human health suffers. There's a whole slew of effects, and you can see some of those on the Ice Age Farmer Wiki. But for now, I wanted to step back and return. Last week we saw a spring blizzard descend across the U.S. Midwest that many were speculating was going to cause problems for planting. In fact, ever since the flooding, people have been saying that the whole season is going to have issues. I enjoyed some of these shots from the aftermath of that blizzard. Again, this is last week, and we started to see emerging this hashtag NoPlant19, as in the opposite of Plant 2019. We're not getting our crops in the ground right now. No plant. This from North Dakota, the worst blizzard this individual has ever seen. I'm thinking field work might not even start until May 5th, and there's a large potential for big PP acres, that is, prevented planting, which means, in insurance terms, I didn't even get my crops in the ground this year. Get that far. So, we saw these sort of, like I said, early rumblings on Twitter, people saying, yeah, my soil temperatures are way too low, it's just not going to happen, no plant 19, and some people speculating that that would be a huge issue, right? If we keep getting rain, then the soil will stay wet. This was from Iowa, and we probably won't even get our corn planted until May 10th. So that was the Twitter sphere, but now we've started to see some of the headlines catching up to that. After this double bomb cyclone, South Dakota is reaching the edge of planting season. The markets have started to react. As I said, when this flooding started last month, there was a lot of headlines that just said, it's not even time to plant yet, don't worry, markets are not worried about it, but not yet. Our analysts not yet concerned, although our planting of corn is slowed to a crawl, according to the U.S. Does report last week, only 3% of planting done. And indeed, the markets now are starting to react a little bit, so futures prices rising on corn today, traders were unloading. We see down here, corn and wheat futures were pushed higher, lifted by people covering their shorts, meaning they are suddenly expecting prices to rise, over growing concerns about the planting delays following last week's blizzard in the middle of April. So yeah, this is the growing season shrinking, which we've been seeing for a couple of years and anticipating more of. Now moving on, America's onion supply coming up short. Weather issues and dwindling global supplies, onions being sort of the harbinger here of what's going to happen if all of these other, if the growing season continues to suffer. National Onion Association Wednesday says American growers usually have enough onions in storage to get through the spring, but we just don't today. That's not the case. Down 60% in just 1 month, which means we could be completely out of onions by June. Why? We read down here, it's bad weather, cold, wet conditions. Cold, wet conditions. We already know Europe was having an onion shortage too, so this is heightening that. Cold and wet conditions were the same things that were causing problems for cauliflower and other vegetables out in California. Cold and wet. And some of the news, I had mentioned this weeks ago in the aftermath of the flooding, but some of the news now is catching up with the reality that many of those farms actually lost their topsoil and aren't going to be able to just return to business and plant. The same thing is going to be the case in Iran, where the damage numbers are pretty astounding coming out of there. Agricultural losses alone coming to some $3 billion. That's across horticulture, animal husbandry, apiculture, poultry farming. We know that's going to contribute to the global protein shortage. So this was a significant, yet another significant blow to the world's modern agricultural systems. This one in Iran. Another side effect of that there is that even there, the snow cover is up 20% this year, just like we've been seeing record snow cover in the Sierra Nevada, basically across the northern hemisphere, plenty of that. Same story with Iceland's glaciers growing, Greenland's glacier growing. These are the symptoms of the solar minimum. Now again, zooming out from these specific case studies, these storms in the U.S. and the flooding in Iran. When we look at China, losing so many pigs, literally more the entire continents of North and South America produce each year. They've already just had to cull because of this African swine fever. And the situation keeps escalating. Let's see if I can quantify that. When we lose 40% of China's production, here it is, that means on an annualized basis, we've lost more pork production than all of South and North America put together. So I wanted to share that because it really puts that production into perspective. It's massive. It's a huge amount that's come off the top. And we've covered already that people are describing this as a global protein shortage. It's affecting not just the hog prices, but also poultry and fish. That's on top of these concerns. There are weird zombie fish concerns in the Baltic, where the population has plummeted. They're not able to get anywhere near the tonnage of fish out of the Baltic. Never before, there's that unprecedented word, has the situation been so bad. And there's a weird zombie cod. This echoes what we heard from Scotland about their worst ever salmon season. And this global protein shortage is, of course, on top of the global wheat supply reaching crisis levels. The global wheat supply crisis was before the U.S. lost all their stocks in this flooding. So these conditions just keep getting worse. Australia losing 10% of their agriculture from 63 to 58 in just 2 years. With a lot of that uninsured, meaning it falls on the farmers. Scotland losing 6% of their total ag year over year. So huge blows to the large, these are the big systems, entire agricultural production numbers. I'm not just talking about a few acres in a hailstorm when we look at 10% year over year decline in agricultural production for a nation, folks. And I hope I'm putting this into adequate perspective. You see, Quebec, I've covered this, Quebec losing their iconic maple production and having to bail out their farmers in Nova Scotia. I did note, thanks Sean for this, that New Hampshire is already reporting no maple syrup has even come in this year. So expect to see more of that. You know, we'd laughed that they had dipped into their strategic reserves of maple syrup so that people wouldn't know that there were supply shortages. Well, it's happening again this year. The trees aren't producing it at all. So expect to see maple syrup skyrocket in price. The olive oil, we covered this. There are social ramifications, people going out and protesting against the frosts. The government of Italy needs to rescue its farmers because 57% of the olive harvest was lost. Germany going from a net exporter of wheat to a net importer and having a historically low potato shortage. People are noticing these things. You can't deny these things. And so when we see the solar minimum is going to deepen, it's going to continue, then we need to embrace the reality that we're heading into a world of food scarcity, localized food shortages. And when we appreciate that, you can start to get prepared. I wanted to point this out. It is a microcosm, actually, of this discussion. We see in South Africa, in the aftermath of the cyclone down there, that there's just an absolute food catastrophe. The effects are threatening to create a catastrophic hunger crisis. But if you see here, the emphasis is not on more government programs. It's not on global warming prevention. It's on get seeds to these people. Quote, if we can get seed to these people quickly so that they can take advantage of the residual moisture in the ground and grow enough food for their families, otherwise it's catastrophic. So the emphasis is on getting seeds to people. That is the humanitarian aid that's needed to get them through this food crisis. Having recognized that, let that inform your own preparations and your own, you know, value. How do you value the items in your prepper closet? And yes, that cyclone was one of the deadliest storms on record in the Southern Hemisphere. Unprecedented. But again, emphasis on arming people with seeds as survival mechanisms. Yes, there's power in the seeds. You see, that's why Monsanto wants you to have Terminator seeds that you can't save. There's power there. There's also power in being able to create your own rooting hormone. I wanted to give a shout out to Farside over on the Ice Age Farmer forums, who mentioned that you can actually get indole-3 butyric acid, the active ingredient for rooting hormones. So when you're doing all your grafting and cloning and rooting, you can make this stuff yourself. Buy the raw ingredient, then you probably will be able to make this stuff for, you know, gallons of it for years to come. So you can supply rooting hormone to your entire neighborhood. It's actually just a pretty cool thing to have on hand. Plus, you can save a ton of money this way. So shout out to Farside. Thanks for this tip. And in general, to everyone over on forum.iceagefarmer.com who's showing up and bringing their own ideas to the game, because that's what this is about, folks, is talking about how we're going to get through these more difficult growing seasons ahead and the challenges in front of us. I also shared just yesterday an interview I did with Matt Powers where he too talks about developing your own genetics, your own landrace varieties of seeds, these gritty, resilient varieties that you can trust to be more resilient to whatever comes our way climate-wise. And so I hope you enjoy that. I've had some mixed feedback on that. And to all of those who were mixed in their feedback, I would submit, as I do on every video, what ideas do you have for how we can get through this? Please reach out. Let's have a conversation. Send me an email, christian@iceagefarmer.com, and you and I can talk about whatever you think we should be talking about, how we're going to get through these conditions, the waning magnetosphere, the solar minimum, everything, not to mention all the geopolitical issues we have ahead of us, right? We can scope those into. All right, folks, thanks for watching. I hope you are taking steps every day to ensure your family's food security in the future. Let's go build a more resilient, more abundant future. Take care.